Welcome to Bandcamp. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Dan, and this is the podcast where we read band books and try to figure out why they were banned in the first place. This season, we are taking on The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. Just a heads up, we're going to be spoiling it since we're reading it out loud. And if you need to catch up, you can check out Bandcamp Season 4, Episode 1. Follow us on Instagram at Bandcamp_podcast. That's band with two N's. And before Jennifer starts reading, let's introduce the third member of our team, our trusty robot, to give us a brief overview of where we left off in the story. Robot, did you get a haircut?
Oh, no, Dan. I didn't get a haircut. Thank you. Last time on Bandcamp, Huck and Tom were at a crossroads with their latest escape plan for Jim. As they weigh Huck's no-nonsense breakout against Tom's plan, that's one part genius, two parts what were you thinking? You've gotta wonder, will they choose the path less tangled, or will Tom's flair for the dramatic lead the way? What happens next? You're about to find out.
Thank you, Robot. With that being said, let's begin Chapter 35 of Huckleberry Finn. It would be most an hour yet till breakfast, so we left and struck down into the woods. Because Tom said we got to have some light to see how to dig by, and a lantern makes too much and might get us into trouble. What we must have was a lot of them rotten chunks that's called foxfire, and just makes a soft kind of glow when you lay them in a dark place. I don't know what foxfire is. It's an internet browser. No, that's Firefox.
Do you think that's what they did back then because they didn't have an internet, so they would just take all the internet browsers and use them as Kindle? Or would they use them as a Kindle, which also wasn't invented, so they had no real reason for a Kindle reader?
We fetched an armful and hid it in the weeds and sat down to rest, and Tom says, kind of dissatisfied, "Blame it. This whole thing is just as easy and awkward as it can be. And so it makes it so rotten difficult to get up a difficult plan." He really wants a difficult plan.
But you know what's simple? A simple plan, Tom. You could go that route, too.
"There ain't no watchman to be drugged. And now there ought to be a watchman. There ain't even a dog to give a sleeping mixture to. And there's Jim chained by one leg, with a 10-foot chain to the leg of his bed. Why, all you gotta do is to lift up the bedstead and slip off the chain." Oh my God, it's so easy though.
It's just so easy. Just do it.
"Jim could have got out of that window hole before this, only there wouldn't be no use trying to travel with a 10-foot chain on his leg. Why, drat it, Huck, it's the stupidest arrangement I ever see. You got to invent all the difficulties. Well, we can't help it. We got to do the best we can with the materials we've got. Anyhow, there's one thing. There's more honor in getting him out through a lot of difficulties and dangers where there weren't one of them furnished to you by the people who it was their duty to furnish them. And you had to contrive them all out of your own head. Look at just that one thing of the lantern. When you come down to the cold facts, we simply got to let on that a lantern's resky. Why, we could work with a torchlight procession if we wanted to, I believe. Now, whilst I think of it, we got to hunt up something to make a saw out of the first chance we get. What do we want of a saw? What do we want of a saw? Hain't we got to saw the leg off Jim's bed so as to get the chain loose?" Oh my gosh.
Thank God he said that. I thought he was going to, "Don't we have to saw Jim's leg off? Because that would make it difficult too."
Right.
"We're going to cut all of Jim's limbs off. Hear me out now, Tom. This is, it's not the smartest, but it's going to be a lot harder just to carry a body with a head sticking out." Back when in chapter 2 or 3, in the beginning, when he created Tom and his gang of robbers, right?
Yeah.
And they were talking about hostaging somebody, and they didn't know what hostaging was.
That's right.
But they knew they had to do it. Why? Because it was written down in a book, and that's how you do it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Huck, back then, same as he is now, it's like, what if we just do this, right? That is like the true difference between them. I don't know if Mark Twain was trying to like do an analogy, but it, in my mind, there's like a big analogy of Tom being like how society is. You don't really think, you just follow the rules and it's written down in the book. This is how you do it. A, B, C, D.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, normal people, or maybe not normal people, just like people who are little.
Another word is common sense, right?
Right. I mean, couldn't we just lift up the top of the bed and pull the chain out and we can be gone in 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. No. It says in the book, this is what we should do.
Yeah. I mean, Good point. Why, you just said a body could lift and slip the chain off. Well, if that ain't just like you, Huck Finn, you can get up the infant schooliest ways of going at a thing. Why, hain't you ever read any books at all? Baron Trank, nor Casanova, nor Benvenuto Cellini, nor Henry IV, nor none of them heroes. Who ever heard of getting a prisoner loose in such an old matey way as that? No, the way all the best authorities does it is to saw the bed leg in two and leave it just so, and swallow the sawdust so it can't be found, and put some dirt and grease around the sawed place so the very keenest sensicle can't see no sign of its being sawed, and thinks the bed leg is perfectly sound. Then the night you're ready, fetch the leg a kick, down she goes. Slip off your chain, and there you are. Nothing to do but hitch your rope ladder to the battlements, shin down, break your leg in the moat, because a rope ladder is 19 foot too short, you know. And there's your horses and your trusty vassals, and they scoop you up and fling you across the saddle, and away you go. It's gaudy, Huck. I wish there was a moat to this cabin. If we get time, the night of the escape, we'll dig one.
There he is, Tom Sawyer, ladies and gentlemen, you knucklehead. Okay, back up a little bit.
Okay.
Is part of his plan in that thing where there's moats and everything, where you're climbing down a rope and he just factors in and then you break your leg because the rope is too short? Like, that's just...
Yeah. No, that's
part D, break your leg. It's like, you dummy.
I'm not even sure what to make of it.
When something is this absurd, then we know that Mark Twain is trying to make a point.
What do you want of a moat when we're going to snake him out from under the cabin? But he never heard me. He had forgot me and everything else. He had his chin in his hand, thinking. Pretty soon he sighs and shakes his head, then sighs again and says, no, it wouldn't do. There ain't necessity enough for it. For what? I says. Why, to saw Jim's leg off, he says. Just keep the saws locked up away from Tom Sawyer.
Again, it's like we said in the last chapter, this is the kind of thing, Huck, you don't want to let this part of the plan out to Jim. It's better if Jim doesn't know Knucklehead is thinking about this as an option. My God.
Good land, I says. Why, there ain't no necessity for it. And what would you want to saw his leg off for anyway? God, I'd be outraged too. I mean, it's like, he must not be thinking of Jim as a person.
Yeah.
I mean, self-centered, you know, he's self-centered and
yeah.
I mean, that would make me think about partnering with him. I'd be like, what are you thinking about me then? You know,
let's just put this out there. Tom, anytime we're going on an adventure, there's a few givens. We should try to keep all of our limbs and all of the limbs on the people around us. Like, it's almost like you have to come up with all of these rules to tell him we're clear, right? We're going to save Jim, but we're not going to cut his leg off, right? Land sakes, no. Maybe his arms, though. Say, grab me that saw. Like, oh, God.
Good land, I says. Why, there ain't no necessity for it. And what would you want to saw his leg off for anyway? Well, some of the best authorities has done it. What authorities? What is he talking about? They couldn't get the chain off, so they just cut their hand off and shoved. And a leg would be better still. But we got to let that go. There ain't necessity enough in this case. And besides, Jim's an N-word and wouldn't understand the reasons for it. Jeez.
Who is going to understand the reasons for it?
Yeah, it's not understandable. He says, there ain't necessity enough in this case. And besides, Jim's an N-word and wouldn't understand the reasons for it and how it's the custom in Europe. How is this custom in Europe to cut your arm off in order to escape?
What the hell are they doing in Europe?
Oh, wait, I just thought of why. All of his little adventure novels probably come from white European authors. He's probably never read any, you know, adventures from African heroes. That's a very good argument for widening your breadth of knowledge in literature and have inclusion in the library. Books of all sort. You know what
because
I'm saying
you don't, you don't want to be in the position where you might cut your arm off for no good reason. I hear you, Jen.
That's what I'm saying. But there's one thing. He can have a rope ladder. We can tear up our sheets and make him a rope ladder easy enough. And we can send it to him in a pie. It's mostly done that way. And I've had worse pies. Unbelievable. Okay. Why, Tom Sawyer, how you talk, I says. Jim ain't got no use for a rope ladder. He has got use for it. How you talk, you better say you don't know nothing about it. He's got to have a rope ladder. They all do. What in the nation can he do with it? Do with it? He can hide it in his bed, can't he? That's what they all do, and he's got to, too. Huck, you don't ever seem to want to do anything that's regular. You want to be starting something fresh all the time. Suppose he don't do nothing with it. Ain't there in his bed for a clue after he's gone? And don't you reckon they'll want clues? Of course they will. And you wouldn't leave them any? That would be a pretty haughty do, wouldn't it? I never heard of such a thing. Well, I says, if it's in the regulations and he's got to have it, all right, let him have it. Because I don't wish to go back on no regulations. But there's one thing, Tom Sawyer. If we go to tearing up our sheets to make Jim a rope ladder, we're going to get into trouble with Aunt Sally, just as sure as you're born. Now, the way I look at it, a hickory bark ladder don't cost nothing and don't waste nothing, and it's just as good to load up a pie with and hide in a straw tick as any rag ladder you can start. And as for Jim, he ain't had no experience, and so he don't care what kind of a... Oh, shucks, Huck Finn. If I was as ignorant as you, I'd keep still. That's what I'd do. Who ever heard of a state prisoner escaping by a hickory bark ladder? Why, it's perfectly ridiculous. He's got to grow up. Adventure novels are not real, Tom Sawyer. I wonder, like, how are these guys even friends?
Well, I mean, it would be very attractive if you're a 14-year-old kid and then you have a guy like Tom Sawyer who is just full of all these crazy ideas. It would be fun to be his friend. And it would be fun to play games like, oh, let's pretend this and we're trying to whatever. But when you're in the middle of it, like it's happening, I'd just be like, dude, I know. Let me take over. Like, you are way, way gone. Like, your idea is ridiculous. Jim, let's go. We're getting out now. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Again, I would just leave him behind.
Huck seems to be a magnet for dum-dums.
Seems like it, right?
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, all right, Tom. Fix it on your own way. But if you'll take my advice, you let me borrow a sheet off the clothesline. He said that would do, and that gave him another idea. And he says, borrow a shirt, too. What do we want a shirt for, Tom? Want it for Jim to keep a journal on. Oh, this is driving me nuts. Journal your granny. Jim can't write. Suppose he can't write. He can make marks on the shirt, can't he? If we make a pen out of an old pewter spoon or a piece of an old iron barrel hoop? Why, Tom, we can pull a feather out of a goose and make him a better one, and quicker, too. Prisoners don't have geese running around. Oh, my God, give it up, dude. Prisoners don't have geese running around. They always make their pens out of the hardest, toughest, troublesomest piece of old brass candlestick or something like that they can get their hands on.
I never thought I'd say this, but kids, stop reading. Stop reading.
Oh my God, right? And it takes them weeks and weeks and months to file it out too, because they've got to do it by rubbing it on the wall. They wouldn't use a goose quill if they had it. It ain't regular. Well then, what'll we make him the ink out of? Many makes it out of iron rust and tears, but that's the common sort in women. That's the common sort in women? The easy way? Because women are like common sense?
Yeah, I think so.
The best authorities uses their own blood. Jim can do that, and when he wants to send any little common, ordinary, mysterious message to let the world know where he's captivated, he can write it on the bottom of a tin plate with a fork and throw it out of the window. The Iron Mask always done that. And it's blame good way, too. Jim ain't got no tin plates. They feed him in a pan. That ain't nothing. We can get him some. Can't nobody read his plates? That ain't got nothing to do with it, Huck Finn. All he's got to do is to write on the plate and throw it out. You don't have to be able to read it.
Oh, God, this kid.
Why, half the time you can't read anything a prisoner writes on a tin plate or anywhere else. Well, then. What's the sense in wasting the plates? Why, blame it all. It ain't the prisoner's plates, but it's somebody's plates, ain't it? Well, suppose it is. What does the prisoner care whose? He broke off there because we heard the breakfast horn blowing. So we cleared out for the house. Along during the morning, I borrowed a sheet and a white shirt off of the clothesline, and I found an old sack and put them in it. And we went down and got the foxfire and put that in too. I called it borrowing because that was what Pap always called it. But Tom said it wasn't borrowing, it was stealing. He said we was representing prisoners, and prisoners don't care how they get a thing, so they get it. And nobody don't blame them for it, either. It ain't no crime in a prisoner to steal the thing he needs to get away with, Tom said. It's his right. And so as long as we was representing a prisoner, we had a perfect right to steal anything on this place we had the least use for to get ourselves out of prison with. He said if we weren't prisoners, it would be a very different thing, and nobody but a mean, ornery person would steal when he weren't a prisoner. So we allowed we would steal anything there was that come handy. And yet he made a mighty fuss one day after that when I stole a watermelon out of the N-word patch and eat it. And he made me go and give the N-words a dime without telling them what it was for. Tom said that what he meant was we could steal anything we needed. Well, I says, I needed the watermelon, but he said I didn't need it to get out of prison with. There's where the difference was. He said if I'd have wanted it to hide a knife in and smuggle it to Jim to kill this sensical with, it would have been all right.
Listen, you got to admit, you know, when you really break it down like that way, I like the way Tom thinks. Logical, smart.
Sensical?
Sensical, very sensical. You couldn't be more nonsensical.
I know, it's so true. Well, as I was saying, we waited that morning till everybody was settled down to business and nobody in sight around the yard. Then Tom, he carried the sack into the lean-to whilst I stood off a piece to keep watch. By and by, he come out and we went and sat down on the woodpile to talk. He says, everything's all right now except tools, and that's easy fixed. Tools, I says? Yes, tools for what? Why, to dig with. We ain't a-goin' to gnaw him out, are we? Ain't them old crippled picks and things in there good enough to dig a N-word out with, I says? He turns on me, looking pitying enough to make a body cry, and says, Huck Finn, did you ever hear of a prisoner having picks and shovels and all the modern conveniences in his wardrobe to dig himself out with? Now I want to ask you if you got any reasonableness in you at all. What kind of a show would that give him to be a hero? Why, they might as well lend him the key and done with it. Picks and shovels. Why, they wouldn't furnish him to a king. Well, then, I says, if we don't want the picks and shovels, what do we want? A couple of case knives to dig the foundations out from under that cabin with? Yes. Found it. It's foolish, Tom. Oh, boy, he finally said it.
Right. This is, I've had enough of your BS, Sawyer.
Is this going to end in like a fist fight?
Oh, that would be a twist that I would not see coming.
Yeah. It don't make no difference how foolish it is. It's the right way, and it's the regular way. And there ain't no other way that I ever heard of. Boy, you know, just think outside of the box, Tom Sawyer. Think outside of the box. And I've read all the books that gives any information about these things. They always dig out with a case knife, and not through dirt, mind you, generally through solid rock, and it takes them weeks and weeks and weeks, and forever and ever. Why, look at one of them prisoners in the bottom dungeon of the Castle d'If in the harbor of Marseille that dug himself out that way. How long was he at it, you reckon? I don't know. Well, guess. I don't know, a month and a half? 37 years, and he come out in China. That's the kind. I wish the bottom of this fortress was solid rock. Jim don't know nobody in China. What's that got to do with it? Neither did that other feller. But you're always a wandering off on a side issue. That's funny. Why can't you stick to the main point? Okay, I think they have different goals here.
Yeah, I think they have different goals. It's very weird, though, when you think about this. The whole plan is to get Jim his freedom.
That's
right?
What we would assume is the goal. But again, Tom's just playing here. His goal is an adventure.
Really? I mean, you just honestly, he wants to solve a problem, though, right?
No problem solving. He just wants to have a fun adventure and do it the way the books say. And Huck wants to get Jim out of there. They just have different goals. This is things couples should talk about before they engage in their relationship. Yeah, absolutely. All right. I don't care where he comes out. So he comes out. And Jim don't either, I reckon. But there's one thing anyway. Jim's too old to be dug out with a case knife. He won't last. Yes, he will last, too. You don't reckon it's going to take 37 years to dig out through a dirt foundation, do you? How long will it take, Tom? Well, we can't risk being as long as we ought to, because it may take very long for Uncle Silas to hear from down there by New Orleans. He'll hear Jim ain't from there. Then his next move will be to advertise Jim or something like that. So we can't risk, you know what I just thought of? If Huck had kept that $6,000 or whatever, he probably could have purchased Jim and his whole family and took them across the river. That would have been the most commonsensical.
And we already know that Huck isn't really into the money.
Right. Maybe that'll happen in the end.
This is where you want to introduce a little thing I like to call critical thinking, though. Right? I mean, I was looking for the easy way out as soon as I was 5.
Right.
Like, I remember when I was in kindergarten and my mom was trying to teach me how to print my name. And she's telling me how to type, you know, how to write Daniel. And I remember this. She's doing a D-A-N-I. You can do it. She's making me E. And I'm like, you can call me Dan. Like, I'm totally fine with D-A-N.
Smart. Sensical. He'll hear Jim ain't from there. Then his next move will be to advertise Jim or something like that. So we can't risk being as long digging him out as we ought to. By rights, I reckon we ought to be a couple of years, but we can't. Things being so uncertain, what I recommend is this, that we really dig right in as quick as we can, and after that, we can let on to ourselves that we was at it 37 years. Well, then just lift the bedpost up and say we did it for 37 years. That's where the playing and imagination can come in, you know?
Let's just move the single piece of wood that will let Jim come out right now. And on the raft, we'll come up with the best, most kick-assiest story you have ever heard.
Because no one else was there but them.
Right. No one has to get limbs cut off. We can get in and out today. Ugh.
Oh, man. Then we can snatch him out and rush him away the first time there's an alarm. Yes, I reckon that'll be the best way. Now, there's sense in that, I says. Letting on don't cost nothing. Letting on ain't no trouble. And if it's any object, I don't mind letting on we was at it 150 year. It wouldn't strain me none after I got my hand in. So I'll mosey along now and smouch a couple of case knives. Smouch 3, he says. We want one to make a saw out of. Tom, if it ain't unregular and irreligious to suggest it, I says, there's an old rusty saw blade around yonder sticking under the weather boarding beyond the smokehouse. He looked kind of weary and discouraged-like and says, it ain't no use to try to learn you nothing, Huck. Run along and smouch the knives, 3 of them. So I done it. End of chapter.
So he just gives in. It's like, I'm talking to an idiot here.
I think I know type of personality Huck is. He's like a bee.
How so? Like a worker bee?
No, like a type B personality.
Oh, a like type B. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like, go along to get along, not going to put up a big fight. And that's a little unfortunate.
But what is Tom? Type D for dum-dum?
Totally.
It's time for PPP, problematic points to ponder. What, if anything, would be considered banworthy in this chapter?
Okay, PPP, this might be a shot in the dark, but because we can never find anything, and we're almost done with this book, could it be this? What if, seeing how stupid Tom's plans are, and they come from reading books... You can kind of see how reading books can give impressionable kids stupid ideas.
Yeah.
Could that be something?
No.
I know. It's a long shot.
From Banworthy to Bingeworthy.
Okay. We have not one, but 2 nothing Banworthy to extremely Bingeworthy podcasts for you. And you could honestly not get more different. We've been playing the promos for one of them for a couple episodes, and we're going to keep playing them for a little bit because we love this show. It is called This Queer Book Saved My Life.
It's well put together, and I feel like it's a very important podcast. And it touches on a lot of the same reasons we started our podcast. Books are important, and they can save lives. Representation matters.
Hey, fans of Bandcamp. My name is J.P. Darbagosian. I love Bandcamp because fighting back against book bans was one of the reasons why I launched the podcast This Queer Book Saved My Life. As I saw LGBTQ books being banned from schools and politicians saying we can't even say the word gay in our classrooms, I thought we need to get into how important queer books are and how they save lives. And in some cases on the podcast, we mean that literally. On each episode, a new LGBTQ guest shares with us the book that helped them find the language to come out or begin their gender transition or deal with homophobia in their family. And then we bring in the book's author to find out what it took to write that book. How did it get out into the world? How did it change the author? We were just nominated for a GLAAD Media Award for Outstanding Podcast, and I hope that you can check out This Queer Book Saved My Life everywhere you stream your podcasts.
And the second one, equally as important, What's on Joe's Mind? W-O-J-M, What's on Joe's Mind? Now, who the hell is Joe? Who is Joe?
G.I. Joe.
That's exactly right, Jennifer. G.I. Joe. This is a really fun podcast. And one thing I do know, Jennifer, is that the scary book people, we number in the billions. There have got to be some of you into G.I. Joe. Am I right?
There's got to be at least a few. The few, the proud.
You're going to love them. Search for them. W-O-J-M, What's on Joe's Mind?
All right. We've caused enough literary chaos for today. Thank you for listening, scary book people.
You can find us on Instagram at Bandcamp_podcast, where you can connect with fellow scary book people, join in the polls and discussions, and you can vent about the evils of book banning. And we really do hope you join our community. We'd love to see you there and engage with you.
Bandcamp is produced and hosted by Dan Schultz and me, Jennifer Davis. All media used in this production was done so under the protection of fair use. See you next time.
See you guys later.